happy Tuesday, everybody, and welcome back. And Merry Christmas Eve. Today is Christmas Eve. I hope you guys are celebrating with family or friends or loved ones. I am home in Georgia right now with my family, and so that's been really great. All of my siblings are home, so that's been a blast. But excited you guys are here. Today's conversation is with Sherry Weedman, and I actually met Sherry back in 2018, I believe. We were both working on a project together. She was an actress in this film, and I was helping out on set, but she has done many a project since. Sherry has an organization called The Women in My World, and I will link that if you guys want to check out her stuff. But Sherry's going to share. She's going to share a bit on her experience working in Hollywood for, I think, a few years. I think she did that for quite some time. But, and kind of her transition into what she's doing today and what she's learned from that experience. And she's also going to share a lot of practical advice on just, like, time management and how to balance your priorities as a woman who is in business working in the entertainment industry and also being a wife and a mom. So this was super helpful to me, this conversation was. And it was also just a blast. She's so much fun to talk to. But yeah, you guys enjoy this conversation. This is Sherry Weedman.
I think we met back in 2018, I think, yes, for the first time. And that was on the Overcomer movie set 6 years ago. So I kind of popped in and just watched from afar everything that was happening. But yeah, that was the first time we met, and you were an actress in Overcomer. She also was a part of the new movie, The Forge. And so we got to work together this past summer, 2 summers ago, on that set. And so that was awesome as well. But Sherry is actually a director, a writer, producer. You've done it all. Anyways, thank you for coming on today, for making the time. I know you're extremely busy, but I've been really excited about this one. I want you to share a bit about what you do and in your organization, The Women in My World. So would you just share a bit about that and how you got started with it?
Absolutely. Well, and I'm so excited to be on here with you, Anna, because I know we talked a little bit about this and you doing this podcast for a while, and it's so important for your voice to be heard. And so I'm really excited that you're doing this.
Me too. It's great.
So actually, I was just thinking back 2018, I think, and I was on LifeMark too. Were you on LifeMark with us as well?
I think you were. Popped in for 2 seconds to see what was going on.
Yeah. So, and it's like, gosh, I can't believe that we've, you know, here we are 6 years later, 3 movies, and it's just been an incredible journey. And so, and to watch you grow up and just, you're just fantastic. And I love every minute I get to be with you, because I actually go, now this is a really wise young lady and I need to learn from her.
Right. Well, thank you. That's sweet.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. But yeah, I think my organization, you asked about that. And I, you know, that's really what's probably more dear and near to my heart than anything else. It's called The Women in My World. And, you know, really when the Lord laid it on my heart years ago, I was living in Los Angeles, and I have to be just super upfront about it. When God called me to women, I was like, no, no. I'm a boy mom. I don't have any desire. Like, it's just a no. And, you know, that was kind of that moment where I actually was in Hollywood. It was where God had taken me to Hollywood. I believed he was opening up all these doors for me. And the coolest thing was, is that here God had put me in this position where I thought that I was there for one reason. And yet, when we really realize what's important to the Lord, is it's not about what kind of job title I can add to my name or how many acting or directing or whatever the job is. It's really, we have to be aware of what breaks his heart or where he wants, because he wants us to serve his people, right? And so that really was the beginning of The Women in My World. As I was sitting in this little acting class, I was ready to quit. It was hysterical. I was sitting there working with incredibly talented people in Hollywood, and I had no idea why I was there. And so as I was really preparing to quit that night, the specific night, I just didn't think I could go any further. God, literally, I went up, I did my work on stage. I came back, I sat down, fully ready, packing up my bags. And the Lord just totally spoke to me and he said, "You're here for my women." And I looked around the room at all of these beautiful faces, and so many of them were just broken. And, you know, because we live in this world, specifically in Hollywood and entertainment in general, where we are always at some point or another told we're not enough in so many ways. You know, we're not tall enough, not short enough. We're, you know, we were talking before we went online about our hair color and, you know, whether it's our age or our demographic or whatever it might be. And so we walk away being rejected more than we are encouraged and lifted up. So that's really how God spoke to me. And he said, "You're here for my women." Very shortly thereafter, he called me to start the Women of My World. And he said, "But I want you to bring women together and I want you to praise my name first and then pray." And it was so cool because I went from two women to about 25 overnight. And that's really how it started.
So I was on your website just right before our call. And I was just reading through it. So your mission statement is what? You want to share it?
Yeah, it's basically very simple. TheWomenInMyWorld.org. You can go on and look at our mission statement. And it's really about creating Christ women, Christ followers that influence the world through their talents and gifts. And that's part of it in a nutshell. And so as we are discipling, it's really about bringing up this next generation. In my mind, women for me is who God has called me to really influence the culture through their talents and gifts somehow or another. And I love that The Forge that's coming out soon is about discipleship because we are called to be discipling those. And so that's where God has called me. And I get to do that now. But now I've gone from, up to 25. I've got now several hundred that are on a regular basis with me. We've got an incredible database of women that we've vetted. My last movie I directed, Divine Influencer, we put 7 women to work because we were able to support them through the nonprofit. And so
that's amazing.
And I think that the power of that is it's not just about giving a job. It's really about discipling, educating, providing the resources. We never want to be in a position where we say, "You know what, you got to give me a job because I'm a woman." No. I'm going to earn that job. But in that also is to pour into women so that they, when they do hit set, not only are they able to complete the job that is before them, but really, ultimately, they're there to be a bright light for Jesus. And I think that's really what this mission is all about.
Absolutely. That's so good. Okay. So bouncing off of that, this is one of the questions I had written down. Being in the entertainment industry, how do you guard your goals in that world, looking at what their version of success is versus yours? And like when you're working towards excellence and a lot of those people are not going to see eye to eye with you, excuse me. So I know your question you ask everyone on your podcast is how do you define success? So with you being in that world, how, maybe tell me a little bit of that journey of when you started to where you are now, of how the Lord shifted that perspective or how you kind of just stay locked in with your goals.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a great question because the world really defines success one way. And as Christ followers, we really have to define it according to our walk with Christ, to the word, to the gospel that's been presented to us, right? And so, and it's tough. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, there are so many days, but I think a long time ago, one of the things that I really had to put boundaries around or bumpers, so to speak, is that, and this is one thing I always work with my women on, is the world is full of distractions and the enemy wants to get you off your game. And the moment that he can do that is the moment that he can set you in a spinning motion, which distracts you, destroys you, and really disables your ability to keep moving forward the way that you're supposed to. And that's not, you know, week by week or year by year. That's literally second by second of our day. Yep. So, you know, I would tell ladies, I'd say, you know, anybody that I could have this conversation with, I would say, listen, you know, the objective in the morning is you need to make sure that you don't pick up your phone first. And if you use it for music or whatever it is, put it on silent, do not disturb, whatever that looks like. But that does not dictate what your morning should be like, because what's happening in our culture today is most people roll over. They wake up to their phone. They look at their emails, maybe a text message that came in late. And then they go immediately because of the algorithms to mm-hmm. social media. And before they ever get out of bed, they've been distracted, disabled, and really almost kind of enabled to be the best at what they can be before their feet even hit the ground. And so you got to lock in quickly, and you've got to make that distinction, because the moment I would do that and I'd pick up my phone, I'd go to the rat wheel of this race, you know, we call life, rather than going and sitting at the feet of Jesus. And my days, my attitude, my behavior, my ability to be proactive rather than reactive all really matters on how I begin the morning and how I set myself up for success.
Yeah.
And that's really by getting in the Word of God, leaning into listening to Him. Where are you taking me, Lord? Teach me, guide me, show me what you have for me today, how can I serve you? And when we put those things into perspective, first and foremost, that's where we can start to put the boundaries around. Because you really quickly, the moment you step out of that, you will see the spiritual warfare that begins to happen. And I think the last thing I would say is, like, get yourself right. No matter, you know, it's me. I get up in the morning. I set my time. I'm very early riser. I'm in the Word. I'm praying. I'm listening. I'm getting my workout in. So I'm mentally, physically, and spiritually able to connect and do what I need to do. And then you take on the world, you know?
Yep. That's so good. I know that I have underestimated the power of doing that in the morning, like of spending that time with the Lord. I mean, this morning I literally rolled over and I knew I had a lot to do today. So I picked up my phone first thing this morning, and that's something I've tried to get better at, but I don't know. I think I have underestimated how much that affects my days, because for me, once my brain starts going with what my to-do list, I have an extremely hard time stopping that. Even if I do a couple things, I sit down and I start going through my reading or whatever, and I'll have to literally make a list of things that pop into my head while I'm reading or praying, and I'm that are completely irrelevant to anything I'm doing. Like yesterday, I had to turn and be like, text this person back about this, because if I don't make a note, I'll do it right then. And it's insane. That's how my brain works. And so I've had to learn that I'm learning the same thing of, like, you literally, it is a discipline to, like, wake up and fix your eyes and fix your mind like that. And it literally makes a world of difference. And I don't know how many times I have to not do it to realize that it works and for me, it starts the night before. I'm like, if I don't get in bed early, I don't do those things in the morning, or I'm completely distracted while doing it. And so I've had to work backwards, because it's been so many years of not disciplining myself well of doing that. And then being like, where am I slipping up? And for me, it's mostly like a bedtime, going to bed the night before. But that's so good. I think also with what you're called to do and what the Lord's asked you to do, you do have an option. But for you, I think it's so cool hearing you say that, because it has become a necessity. Like, it's not even just so that you have a better day and do well at work, because of what the Lord's called you to do. And you're leading a whole group of women that's only growing. It's not so much of an option anymore because of what you said yes to the Lord. So I'm reading about that, how like Moses and all these leaders in Old Testament, like it, a lot of things seem really extreme or not fair, the like standards the Lord calls them to, but it's like, okay, but look who they're leading, and like it's influencing all of Israel and generations to come after. So that's something that's cool to hear you say that, because it's so true, and it's a simple thing, but bleeds into everything.
And you know what, and I also would say to you too, is like, we've become this culture that, you know, like, I don't wear my iWatch anymore. I have an iWatch, and so I've either gone back to my old watch, or I don't even wear one, or my phone's on do not disturb. And it's because when the iPhones came into play, we've become this culture also that it's like, oh, people should be available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And what I realized when I was wrapping post-production on Divine Influencer, I was working with people across the four time zones. And my time would start at 5, you know, o'clock in the morning Eastern time, and people were still working in the Western, you know, Pacific Standard Time. And so what happened to me then in the beginning of 2024 is, not only was it about being intentional about how I got up and spent my morning, but it was also being intentional to say, you know what? I'm not going to wear that eye watch anymore. I'm not going to be accessible. I'm going to turn my do not disturb on. I will respond, because if I don't, I can't be obedient to what God has called me, because the enemy wants to distract me, take me off my game before anything else. So it's become really a habit for me to do that, you know, and with the thing too.
Yeah. My dad told me this forever ago. He was like, if the enemy cannot get you to slip up by tempting you with some big sin trap you'd fall into, it'll be distractions. So it can literally be a lot of good things that build up, but then you have no time to focus on your calling or that thing that's harder, but you're supposed to be obedient to. So that's good. I had a professor tell me that too. She was like, you can't reach me. I'm mom during these hours. And she was like, I'm really, really hard on that. And she was like, or else I won't be effective at home because I'm accessible to all my students all the time. And I was like, okay, it's like, I respect that. I won't get upset at you for not answering. But it makes a lot of sense. Okay. So I have another question with time management, because this is something I struggle so bad at. And I'm aware, but I am working on what to put in place, because I can remove things, but then I've heard when you remove things, you have to replace them with other habits. You can't just remove or they'll come back. So they have to be replaced with something. So talking about time management with being a wife and you're a mom and with work, what are some like little, do you have any little tricks or just like going throughout your day? You have a full day. Or even talking with people, and you run into people you love, conversations get started, and you're like, I want to be present, but I got to go, you know? So what, these are all things I struggle with. And I know when you're as busy as you are, you just gain a lot of wisdom over time of, okay, how can we do this a little bit better? How can we love people well, still be effective with our time and cut things off when we need to, you know what I mean?
Well, and that's it's tough, because I think we always kind of set up, we plan our day and God has already another plan in place, you know, and so it's kind of going, okay. But I do think we have to be good at time management. And let me tell you, I fail often and I just got to like pick it back up again and make it happen. But I do believe there's things that you can put in place. And for me, you know, I've always been somebody that if I do have the place, you know, getting up in the morning, starting my devos, getting my workout in, making that time for what I need to get myself prepared for the day. And then I'm a list person. In fact, I'm going to show you something because this is kind of funny. But as I'm sitting here working today, like this is what I do. So I have a yellow notepad. And so I, you know, when I know, and you can see the check marks, you know.
I want to go get mine because it's in my bag. It looks, I'm a big check mark girl.
Yeah.
That's something for me.
And then here's what I would say, because we have this, too often we go to this and we get distracted by a text or something that pops up. For me, it's like Amazon or a dress just popped up or some like crazy thing I know that I want to look at. But if I do this old school, nothing is going to distract me.
Yes.
So I keep that by my side. I work through that list and I diligently go, but I will say to you that I try to remember, and I'm blanking on the name of the book. There was this great book where it talked about margin, and you have to leave margin in your day.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't allow God to do the things that he desires to do, because you've got it so planned out to your will and your way that you forget it's really about his way. And so I try to make sure that in my day, there is margin for what he wants me to lay my hands to and not just me. And so if I go to the grocery store, I'm not cutting it so short that if there's somebody who needs to chat with me for a second, which was a big thing going from Los Angeles to Georgia, people in Los Angeles don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
They don't care who you are and what you have to say. But in Georgia, they want to know your entire history and your DNA makeup and where you come from. And you're kind of like, oh my gosh, I've got to figure out how to navigate this. But beauty of that is being able to have that margin. So even when God says, hey, I need you to do this, or I need you to do that, you have the ability to be at peace and to do it
right
to the best of your ability.
Right. You know?
But that's how I do time management.
I am so big on those lists because I'm the same with getting distracted, but also just, I think if I don't write it down, then I know I'll feel like I'm forgetting something constantly. So that's been extremely helpful for me too. And that's good because when you leave it all on your notes on your phone, you get all kinds of notifications. So that's really good. That's good. Okay. So another question. What do you wish you knew, which I hope that this kind of dives into a little bit of your story to whatever degree you want to talk about it, but what do you wish you knew in your 20s? Kind of my age, I'm in my early 20s right now. What are some like a couple key things you wish you knew that you didn't then?
Yeah, it's such a great question. Some of the things that I wish I knew when I was in my early 20s, really what I think there's so many things, but I think one thing was to really understand that, and I didn't have the relationship with the Lord in my early 20s that I do now. I really wish that I would have, like, I wish I would have really made that a priority in my life to really draw close to the Lord. I think that would be a huge thing because when we do that, we really do have a better idea and that we're able to walk in an identity that we're given by the Lord and not by the world. I wish that, I wish I would have known in my early 20s, even in my mid 20s and up till the time that I had Levi, that really being a mom was the greatest gift that I had ever been given. And if I could go back and do over, I would say that I would spend as much time fully engaged with my husband and my children, wait diligently without pursuing a whole bunch of other things until the Lord called me. Because I think I invested a lot of time and energy into things that I probably pursued that he wasn't ready to give me. And it was a lot of spinning and it was a lot of wasted time. You know, people don't tell you that when you have your children, that you'll spend less time with raising your children than you will by yourself after they leave. And so when you think about that, you have to start putting into perspective the reality of how you time management with your family and your kids and how great of a gift they are. And I think the other thing for me in my 20s is just to be reminded that rejection will come in all forms, but we were not called to be fearful and to walk in that. We were called to be strong and courageous. And I think if I could go back to that young 20 something, I would say, you know, take rejection, deal with it, or failure, deal with it quickly, take it on, look at it as a giant, get past it, move on. And realize that it can make you better. It can make you stronger. It can sharpen your skills. So those would be some of the things I would go back and just, you know, work through.
Yeah.
More time with my kids, more time with my husband, and just being really diligent to know that rejection can make me stronger and better at what I'm doing and to walk in strength and courage. Do not be dismayed.
Yeah. Come on. I think that's something my generation and the one after, I think, what are we down to, Gen Alpha? That's, we were talking about this.
I know you were just telling me this the other day and I'm like, what?
Well, I didn't realize. I was trying to figure out how many generations there were just like around mine, like the, and what yours wasn't my parents. So I was just going through them and I think there's a Gen Alpha, but anyways, but I don't think ours does a very good job of receiving criticism. Well, it's all personal for, I mean, not everyone, but I think that is such a superpower. Like what you said, to be able to take it and say, okay, that takes a determined mindset to be like, I'm going to take that and reverse it and be better because of it, you know? And you got to be careful. I'm sure you in the industry that you're in, you hear a whole lot of feedback and helpful criticism.
Yeah. I love how you said that, helpful criticism.
Well, because it depends. It depends on who it's coming from, right?
Right.
How much feedback do you feel like you get from, I guess it's not really desired, but you get it. Like, you know what I mean? Like people that you don't really care to ask their opinion. Do you get a lot of feedback from
there's not as many, I don't know of many women directors. So I think it's incredible what you're doing. And I feel like even if you would even touch on maybe someone you look up to who is doing something similar, but yeah, tell me about how you deal with feedback.
Well, it's tough, right? Because I think that the feedback rejection is rejection, right? It comes in all forms or the feedback. And so I think where I try to be really diligent in it is to be very mindful of, first of all, where is the rejection or where is the feedback coming from? Are they trusted people who are in my life? And do I know, you know, walking and seeing how they walk their life out. There are other people who are going to give you feedback that you don't ask for. And it's probably not, a lot of times it's not great. What is it that you do with it? I think a lesson for me has really been though, is because so often it's not that we take the rejection in a way and think through it and work through it. We actually start to find the offense against the person. Right?
Yeah.
So before we see the feedback and really start to understand, like, well, is that good feedback, bad feedback? What can I do with it? How can I make it better? Is it subjective, objective? Can I trust this person? Like, you don't put all of the feedback through that lens, right? What you do normally is you take it as an offense. And so before you can actually filter it out, you're offended by the person. And so that's been something I've really had to work on in my life. And I think that's where we're at in today's culture with some of the younger generation, is they're usually more offended before they're able to really look at something like, hey, this actually might be really valuable for me to assess. And really work through it. Might either help me and elevate me to the next place where I need to be, or it may not. But I need to be able to look at it in a wise, objective way without taking offense. And I think, you know, recently I've been studying in Daniel again, and I love the way it's like he stands up and he seeks forgiveness first. Like he's, you know, forgive me, Lord, you know, forgive the trespasses. And when we think about that, it's like, we are called to forgive others first. And the enemy wants to destroy even that. So that offense, we take that offense in, we feel like it's an offense towards us and it cuts us on all different levels. And then all of a sudden we're not able to look at it, you know, objectively.
Right. Right.
So for me, I've had to really work through that. I'm in the entertainment business and I started as an actress. And so rejection, if you don't have thick skin, you are not going to make it. It's not the career for you. But with growing in my faith and growing in my relationship with Christ and growing and really having to get on my face and cry out and go, wait a minute, God, why? Like, why would somebody say that to me? Or what? God has always brought me back to a place to look at it through a different lens and to see what it is that I need to work through in order to move past it.
Yeah.
And so that's really the way that I do that. And the only other thing I would tell you in that is I really do have to look at it. Well, that's really the primary way, but then I have to really go back in and go, okay, so wait a minute, the person who is speaking to me and they're giving me this feedback or there's some type of rejection, I do have to look at their track record. And I do think that is a valuable piece of information. You have to look at what this person is doing in their own life, their own life, whether it's with the Lord or not with the Lord. And what are for me in the entertainment industry, what is the projects they've done? Have they been successful? All of those different things. And then again, I go back through, I put them through the filter and the lens and see how I can apply them to my life.
That's so good. You've had a lot of practice, haven't you?
I'm like, this is what you call thick skin.
It's good though. I'm still building mine.
It's so hard. And you know what? When you receive feedback or rejection from people that you really respect or that you're really longing for it to come from, and it's done in a destructive way sometimes, I don't even know how to say that, but man, I mean, it can rip up. I used to find myself curled up in a ball for days, you know, and being like, how could this be? I've worked so hard,
right,
you know,
right.
But then you come to this place and you're like, that's not going to do anybody any good.
Yeah.
Right. Like I'm not going to benefit from that. My family is not going to benefit from it. And if I say yes to God, it's not like, I mean, look at all the people he calls in the Bible to do things. And it's like, they walk in faith. I mean, I was talking with my writing producing partner this morning, Claire, and she said, you know, look at Moses, like, and Abraham. Abraham's just go.
Yep.
Here's where I want you to go. He doesn't have a lined out plan. He just has to trust God and believe, you know, and it's like, okay, I know I need to take it in, believe that God has a plan for my life. He says that in his word. He will never leave me nor forsake me. No weapons can form against me, yada, yada, yada. And then
I was talking to Dad this past Sunday, about the importance of literally having scriptures like that. I am terrible at memorizing. I will tape something to my wall. I truly don't know the last time I've read the verse that's right beside my bed. And I'm just horrible at it. But like realizing the importance of being able to speak those little verses over yourself. I mean, if the word is living and breathing and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, I forget how powerful it is to sit there and just be like, I'll feel like I have no answers to something, or I've asked God the same question over and over again. And literally we'll hear one verse and then you go back and you read the context and you look at it and you're like, it is not that complicated. Like I've had so many situations that felt completely complicated. And I was like, I don't even know what to think, what God thinks. I don't know. And then I'll hear one verse that hits and I'm like, it is not, and I'm just like, chill out, Anna. Like, oh my gosh, take a breath. But that's the power of having scripture. Like you just said, you have to speak those verses over yourself.
You do. And I do think the great thing is, and I just taught on this not long ago, where the living word, it's a two-edged sword, but do we really believe that it is living and breathing? And
right.
In those times in our moment that like when we're in a situation, there are many times that I'm like so up here going, I can't even think of a verse. I can't even, you know, and I'm just trying. And all of a sudden it's like, the Lord's like, just open up my word. Let it breathe. And sometimes do we just take it and open it up and go, okay, just breathe on me, Lord, because that's what you've left me with. I don't, you know what I mean? Like it's, oh wait, that sounds kind of easy. I just get to flip that book open. Is that, but that's truth. You know,
it's like how many times we have to hear it before we try it, because you can turn on a million different podcasts or sermons or inspirational teachers. And it's just like, you hear it all the time. And I've learned that, especially when you grow up in a home that's preaching these things at you, it's like, when am I going to do that for myself? And so, and open the word and read it. And it makes a difference in your thinking too, just in your mentality. You grow in so much mental strength, because I've noticed for myself in seasons where I'm more disciplined and I'm like, okay, I'm getting in the word, I'm reading it, I'm getting a little more excited to read it, and it's making more sense. Or I feel like I'm in the story. Like I feel like I can see what's going on. It's not just words. I'm like, I'm not a huge reader. I need to be a better need to read more often. But when I'm reading the word, it's like, and I can start seeing the story. It just and it comes within like anything else. Like the more you do it, the more you see it. So anyways.
But here's the thing about that. I have to share this with you, and
please do.
It's so funny and very transparent. But I remember when my husband and Matt is really who brought me back into the church. And so he, you know, asked me to church, and we ended up starting to date and then eventually married. And at that time I was still smoking. I still was smoking cigarettes. And so, as you're going through this process and I've given my life to Christ, and now all of a sudden the Lord is like starting to prune me, which is really difficult, right? Because he's like, start cutting away all these things. And I remember one day I was just devastated, because I thought, man, I really want to honor God and I want to be able to quit smoking. Like, I know this is not God honoring, because I know that this is the temple, that his temple. And I remember my husband and I had started, Matt and I started this coffee shop at our church called Hebrews. And we were sitting there and I was like, okay, you know, have a coffee. And this one of my, a friend came in and she said, you know, she sat down and she introduced me to another lady who had been a drug addict, you know, and she had been going through all of these treatments. And she looked at me and I said, well, how did you finally, you know, give this up? Like, you look like a new person. I mean, I would have never known that you were a drug addict, right? Living on the streets and yada yada. And she goes, I just started calling on the name of Jesus. I just started saying his name. Every time I had an urge, I would just say Jesus. And I thought at first, I kind of wanted to go, yeah, right. Yeah. Right. Like, there's this moment where you go, oh, it's like the power of the word, right? The living word. And it's really the power of the name of Jesus. So I remember being in this moment of complete brokenness going, I'm never going to be able to give this stuff up. I'm never going to be able to give this up. And I just remember going, is it that easy, Lord? And I remember calling on his name and just going, okay, I'm just going to start calling on the name of Jesus, because if I don't, I'll light another cigarette. And it was really a beautiful moment, because it was like the Lord stepped in and said, my name is power. And if you truly believe that my word, my name is power, that's what overcomes the world, right? And it, so it's like in that moment. So when we talk about even opening up the word and letting it breathe on us, or to say the name of Jesus, it's like those things we think that are so like easy, but really God has given us something so beautiful, the power, you know, to walk in just almost the simplest of forms, which is just, it's so cool.
Yeah, that's so good. It's like, just try it. Like
just try it.
For anybody listening and for myself, like, let's just try it. Like, if they're, whatever that thing, we all have things that we want to quit. It's like, why do we keep doing the same things over and over again that we don't want to? And it's like, I guess it's recognition at first and being able to call. I know I've heard there's so much power. I'd say 2024 has been like, in the end of 2023, started realizing that my words have power. And I've heard that from my mom my whole life, but I have just realized, even like, there's this crazy study that I just learned about. And it's, I forget the name of the doctor, but you can look it up. And he's doing an experiment on rice, like, well, I think it's just white rice, and he puts it in different cans. And he has, you've probably seen a similar experiment, whether it's plants or something else, but it's the power of words. And I'm not kidding. You can literally go look it up. It's about rice. And he's talking to the rice, and one, he neglects. So he just never really talks to it, or he just leaves it alone. I think he set it on a shelf. The other one, he says hateful things to it. Every day would go in, say hateful things to it, and he labeled them. And then the other one, he would hype it up. Prettiest rice I've ever seen, or whatever you say to it. I'm like, not wait, how do you hype up rice? But he spoke loving things over it. And it literally has a picture of all three of the jars of rice beside each other. But it's insane that the one that he spoke hate over was disgusting, moldy. The other one was kind of in between. The one that he spoke kind words over was perfectly fine. Looks like you could take a spoonful of it. And so, like, in that, that's an extreme example, but I truly believe even just like declaring things, like I learned about declarations this past year, like literally 2024, I learned that you can make declarations out loud and like bind things. And this is a whole nother conversation, but like binding things in the spiritual realm and loosing things and saying, in Jesus' name, I plead the blood of Jesus over this. But like the power of verbalizing it and saying it out loud, one, it makes it more real. Kind of like when you write something down, you can have a thought, but until you start talking to your friend about it, it doesn't feel as serious or as real, but it's the same thing. And so like you can literally make declarations over yourself and your day and conversations and all these things. And so, and like bind the spirit of fear, like verbally do it and say, I bind you in Jesus' name and cast you out. And then be like, I loose like peace and the spirit of joy.
That's so good. And it's even really, it even, that's a great message though, Anna, because even your generation today and the youngers, thinking about that, the words that they speak over themselves, even the things that they see, the things that they see, they hear, they regurgitate in a way that it's speaking, is it speaking life or death? And the word tells us that we, our tongue is, you know, we can speak a lot of death, right? And so what are we doing? And it really does go back to, how are we, you know, digging into the word of God? How are we being able to, you know, breathe what the Lord is telling us through, and breathe out onto other people, speaking over others. And there's, I think it's a really good conversation for you and others to keep having, because we are seeing a culture of destruction over words.
Yep.
Think about,
so true.
every single day, you know, people are so verbally abusive to other people, even when it comes to social media. I mean, it's mind blowing to me that people are so destructive, but the enemy knows because the Lord has said so in his word, and it's giving a lot of depth.
Yep. Well, it's something we're having to all
talk about that.
I know. I'm like, I literally just thought of like four different ways I could go with that conversation. But it is like, I've even been listening to so many political debates and like just different podcasts and even the way people communicate, because there's a lot of great communicators out there, even that are Christians. But the way they speak is, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out, especially in that world of politics, what I think about it. That's another conversation, but it's interesting. It's interesting. Words of power. But yeah, but anyways, well, tell me to wrap it up. Tell me if there's, what project are you working on currently? What's right in front of you right now?
Gosh, we have a couple things that we're working on. I have had a supernatural thriller that I've been working on for some time. Yes, it's really cool. It's kind of pre-trib. So I'm very super, super excited about that. It felt like it's been something that the Lord had downloaded in me a long time ago. And then we're also working on a biblical female Bible series, sharing the testimonies from these women that you really never get to hear their stories. And so it's called The Ultimate Romance. And it's really about the lineage before, you know, it's the lineage of Jesus. And then once we come to a next place, we step in and we see the women that he encountered in the New Testament, but you hear their stories and why they believed what they believed and why they ultimately said yes to their faith in God, first and foremost, whether they were risking their life or not. And they, you know, here are these heroes. I mean, you think about the women that were in the lineage of Jesus, you've got Rahab and Tamar and Bathsheba, and, you know, and even Mary, Mother Mary, where you know, their yes to walk in belief and faith, no matter the cost, was more powerful than their own life because they believed in God, you know, and they trusted. And so they didn't know that their names would be what we're speaking today. And so I'm just really excited about these two projects. I think they're for such a time as this. And my hope is that they really do empower and encourage just a generation, and on so many levels, to be reminded that, you know, no matter where they are at in life and their time, their age, whatever it is, that God does have a purpose, a plan, a place, and a people for them.
Absolutely.
But those are the things I've got right now going on.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's well, you know what it is it's also just continuing to work through the ministry stuff for the women in my world, but this is a big, huge praise. So the women in my world has been just blown away with how many women have come in and just even small donations or, you know, weekly or monthly donations. I mean, and so we were recently able to purchase some film equipment. And so we now are going to start filming and doing some additional stuff to where we're actually bringing women in house and really teaching them, but also in that moment as discipling and pouring into them. And, you know, wow. I think that I would just have to say, like, that's something that your dad and Stephen and Shannon and this, you know, the Kendricks really have done for me. And I watch it. I watched and have watched it displayed so beautifully on set.
Yeah.
And I think what they've done is given me and so many others the ability to know that how we are supposed to do life on set, how we're supposed to lift up, encourage, and empower. And so that's my hope with this too. So those are some of the new things. And
it's incredible.
I'm excited.
So The Forge, just to tie in anyone who is hearing this, The Forge is feature film, and it's based on discipleship. But that was a huge, that was the goal of the entire, like, not just the message of the movie, but what they were trying to live out on set. So that's really cool to hear you say that, because that's exactly what discipleship is. It's like the multiplication. And that was the whole message of the entire summer is when you do what you're supposed to
and you are sharing with that person, you know, right beneath you, right beside you, then it multiplies and then they share with someone else. And so that's cool that it's literally happening. You saying that you were on that set. I'm sure you were doing it to a degree already in your own ministry, but just being inspired and reminded of the importance of it. Cause I recently moved to Nashville like 9 months ago, and I've been being poured into a ton, but very little have poured out to anyone else other than like my community immediately around me. But it just makes you realize, it really does make you check yourself. And it's like, okay, if we want to speed this up, the message of the gospel, you know, literally everything we believe we're supposed to be sharing, if we want to speed this up, who can I be pouring into to do that? And so,
absolutely.
So anyway, that's so cool. And I love that you're doing that in your space. Well, I'm going to be looking out for those projects. I am so excited to watch your thriller and the series. It's a series. The other one is a series, you said?
Series.
Okay.
One is, yeah, the one, the thriller is actually right now with a Christian showrunner in Hollywood who's done huge things. And so wow. We're really excited about that. And
okay.
We've got some movement on the female Bible series. So we're taking a little different approach, that it's the women who are telling the story,
you yes. know,
the love for the Lord and for Jesus. And so
I haven't seen anything like that before that is coming to mind. So that is, that's exciting. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for doing this and taking the time. And I love chatting with you any chance I get. But thank you. This was really encouraging. And I don't even know what I'm going to title this episode, because we have so many things. So I'm going to have to brainstorm on that for a little bit.
Call on Jesus. I don't know. Just don't put in there, like, you know. What was Sherry talking about? Smoking cigarettes or something, you know, like, you know.
They'll grab their attention.
Salvation after salvation, struggling, pruning. I don't know. You've got a lot of good stuff.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for tuning into that conversation with Sherry. I really hope you took some notes on those pointers that she gave. I think they're very practical for anybody who is trying to work on being efficient with their time and just being focused on those things they want to prioritize. But if you are interested in looking at any of Sherry's future or past projects, I will link her stuff below, or The Women of My World. I think that organization is so amazing, and how she's training up other women. It's just incredible, especially in that field. That's so needed. But anyways, thank y'all for listening. I hope you have a merry, merry Christmas, and I will talk to you in 2 weeks. Bye, y'all.